Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com. Now time for Around the House with Eric G. This is where we have a good time with home improvement each Saturday from noon to 2. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to have a good time today because we're going outside. It's summertime. This is what we do here in the Pacific Northwest. We enjoy ourselves. Well, we got a fun day ahead today. I'm going to give you the numbers first because we always want to get your calls. 877-733-1011. 877-733-1011. If you're too shy, it's okay. Send me an email, ATH at KXL.com, and make sure you go over to Facebook because that's where the fun goes all week long, Around the House with Eric G, or you can just go at ATHKXL. And if you want to see the website, that's just aroundthehouseonline.com. So, well, now that we got that stuff out of the way, want to welcome in the studio here, we got Jake from the Wall.
Eric, good to be here, buddy. How you doing?
Good, brother. Good to see you. We're going to talk outdoors today because there are so many things that we've had so many questions over the last few weeks about. All week long, I get stuff about retaining walls and walkways and fire pits and stuff. So it's like, you know, we're bringing an expert in today. We're going to have a good time with you.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm happy to answer any questions your callers have and whatever we got going.
All right. So if you got a honeydew project and you're trying to get this thing knocked out, and especially if you're trying to get knocked out in the next few days before the holidays, you're up against the wire, give us a call, 877-733-1011. 877-733-1011. Well, let's talk about some of the stuff you guys do for a minute, because you guys have been around forever. And what I like about that is you guys know how to build retaining walls and walkways and stuff that can take our Northwest weather.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, we've been around since 1985 and started off with recycled concrete retaining walls. And now we're doing everything from your, you know, basic landscape retaining wall to any big engineered retaining wall that you might have.
Yeah. Let's talk about the concrete for a minute, because that's always interesting because, you know, people have that horrible back patio that needs to go away, that's leaning towards the house because it's settled wrong. They didn't do the prep work right.
Absolutely.
Years ago, and all of a sudden, they got to get rid of that stuff. You guys can actually make that into something else.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the concrete nowadays, I mean, you can do anything from a stamped, real high decorative finish to, you know, your basic broom finish. And there's a lot of different opportunities you can do with a concrete patio, just making a great outdoor living space.
Oh, yeah. I was out at a project here a few months ago, and this guy made a big mistake as a homeowner. Didn't do his research.
Typical.
Just got the guy off Craigslist. You can see where this goes. You go out and see these every week. And I felt really bad for him because he turned around and paid way too little of money for this project.
Yeah.
You know, I looked at it and went, how much you pay for this? And he's like, oh, I paid $6,000 for this. And I'm like, how many bids you get? Oh, he was by far the lowest. Was he licensed, bonded, insured? Nope. Yeah. I'm like, uh-oh. And guess what? They built this kind of stamped concrete big patio that was like a fishbowl, and it had literally 3 inches of water in the middle of it.
I feel bad for the guy.
You know, that's, and I was like, you got to start over, man.
Unfortunately, yes. In that situation, you would have to start over. That's the key thing with concrete, is getting your elevation set so you have proper fall away from the house. And, you know, with stamped concrete, it's tricky. You've got the pattern of the actual stamp itself that can create puddles.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big deal with the stamped concrete.
Yeah.
But when it's done right, it comes out and it looks beautiful.
Absolutely. Hey, we got a call that came in here. Let's jump out and grab it here. Brian in Portland, welcome to Around the House. Brian, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Welcome to Around the House, man.
Thank you. Hey, I have a yard project I want to do. I want to kind of put a concrete border around my grass.
Okay.
And separate that from my flower beds. I've seen some different home improvement projects on the internet, I was just kind of wondering what your thoughts and ideas are about those kind of projects, how thick the concrete would need to be, if I need to worry about it since there's no weight bearing on it, to put an edge around my yard.
You know, I'll let Jake answer this too, but my experience with that is that it's not so much the weight bearing on it, is that you got to keep it from getting bumped around and settling, and it's got to have enough mass to actually hold up to the use of your lawnmower bouncing off it or anything else out there. Jake, have you guys done too much of that curbing stuff? I know there's a lot of curbing companies out there that do that.
Yeah, you know, we do a bunch of curbings and things like that. You know, my recommendation is, one, make sure that you have a solid footing underneath the concrete with some good compacted 3/4 minus, but you want your concrete to be a minimum of 4 inches thick, no matter what. That way you can reinforce it with rebar and make sure that it's going to withstand some kind of weight and settling, for that matter, if it ever does.
Mm-hmm. Let's say I contracted that out, what can I be looking at to spend on a project like that per foot?
You know, I don't know what the current quotes are, the curbing companies out there that bring the machines in, almost like what you see,
right,
a street curbing thing. But a lot of times you got to really have somebody come out and take a look at it, because if you got a lot of, you know, a lot of curves and stuff in it, it's a different story than if you're just doing a box.
Well, that's absolutely right, Eric. I mean, if you're going to be in your backyard or your front yard, those are two different areas. So there may be a pump truck that's needed. It is best to have somebody come out and take a look and let you know what you need to do.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Yeah, no problem, man. Just you can go over and jump on buythewall.com, and you can at least get a hold of Jake that way here and have him come out and take a look at stuff like that. That's a good way to get a hold of them.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thanks for calling in, Brian. Thanks for listening to Around the House. Good question. I've seen people do that stuff before, but I tell you what, it is not as a DIY-friendly project as what you think it is.
It is not. You know, I mean, as you were saying, there are machines that roll out these curbs as they're pouring it, but some of that situation, you know, you may have to actually form this stuff up and hand trowel it when it's all said and done. It's not easy.
It's not. I've seen guys go out and do it successfully, but they've actually been out there and they've built their own forms where they could actually screed that profile around, and there's a lot to it. And if you haven't run a trowel before with concrete and got some hours behind you, there's an art to that.
It's a big art. The guys that we have, I'm not going to lie, I'm not a concrete finisher. I can do some minor things. And as far as the company goes, I'm more of a wall installer, but I've been around the concrete division for a very long time. And, you know, the setup is one thing, but the actual finishing is a true art.
And that's the part that makes the difference, because when you're sitting there and if it's all rough and nasty looking and you got divots and everything else, it looks bad. And when it looks good, nobody notices.
And it's a one-shot deal.
Yeah.
You don't get to go back. Concrete doesn't wait for anybody.
Nope, it doesn't. I've finished my own stuff. I'm pretty decent at it, but I've done enough of it. And the first time I did stuff, it was horrendous.
It definitely can be. Yes.
You know, I mean, it's like what I say about the trades out there. It's like sporting. Michael Jordan didn't get out there and just start jamming dunks.
No, it takes a lot of work.
You
got to
get out there and practice.
Yep.
And I say this for homeowners, too. If you're out working with power tools all the time, you're going to get pretty good at them.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, you know, you got to have someone above you that's been around it and can teach you all the ins and outs. There's a lot of, you know, the saying tricks of the trade. That is a true statement. And having someone that can show you those ways is very important. Nowadays, you know, a lot of young guys can come out and actually learn these tricks of the trade.
Exactly. When we come back, we're going to dive more into this, and we're going to keep on talking to Jake here at the Wall just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with the fitting tunes by Dan Vodder over there playing the music, man. I love it, man. He brought you right into the show that way.
Oh, man, if I had a dollar for every time that joke's popped up, I wouldn't have to build walls anymore, man.
Exactly. Welcome back to Around the House, everybody. You know, this segment Around the House is brought to you by Western Construction Systems, whether it's foundation repair, earthquake retrofitting, basement waterproofing, or drainage systems, WesternConstructionSystems.com. The integrity of your foundation is their specialty guarantee.
Bead, and their CC Bead number 94222. Well, if you want to give a call in here, we're going to be talking home improvement here, and as well as talking about exterior stuff, because we're going to be talking about everything outside here today, because it's that time of year where we can do that. 877-733-1011. 877-733-1011. Make sure you go over to Facebook. Check us out over there, Around the House with Eric G. And then jump over to aroundthehouseonline.com for the website. So good ways to get a hold of us. We had a show question come in off of Facebook. And it's for you, Jake. What's the minimum dimensions for the foundation or footing, basically, with a 3-foot tall stacked concrete block wall? And he's talking about the large 90 pound retaining wall blocks.
Well, as long as it's a segmental retaining wall system, which should be the 90 pound blocks, you know, that all really depends on your subgrade footing. You know, you really want to get down, hit some good hard soil. And once you're down there, you know, you're going to want to bury at least half of that block on a 3-foot tall retaining wall, depending on what it's holding up. But as far as the question goes, I would say that if you're, you know, 6 inches deep by, you know, 16 inches wide, you'd be just fine.
Gotcha.
So it needs to be well compacted. Make sure it is compacted.
If you're doing this in sand, or you're doing it in a muddy bog, or if you're doing it on clay soil, it's kind of a different routine.
It is, you know, and if you're questioning that, feel free to give us a call. We'll be happy to come out and take a look and point you in the right direction.
And as far as footing goes, bigger is always better.
Bigger is always better. if you're on some good hard soil, though, you know, 6-inch minimum footing, you'll be just fine.
Exactly. Well, great answer there. So let's talk about one thing that I know so many people just want to put in their backyards, because it's always one of those design things, putting out that fire pit.
Oh, fire pits are phenomenal, and, you know, there's so many different options you can do nowadays. You know, if you're going to have a patio and have one incorporated into the center to match, you could do that. You could do what I did, which is just take a bunch of really nice stone and build a custom stone fire pit. You know, it looks like your old campfire ring, but extremely nice.
Yeah, see, I went old school. I actually went online a number of years ago and bought one of the state park style circular iron. I mean, that quarter-inch plate, round ring with the little bevel on top that's got the grill piece that swings over. Oh,
come on, Eric. That doesn't look good as stone.
I know.
Yeah.
But you know, when I move, it's nice because I can throw it on the hand truck and take it with me.
Exactly. You get to keep it forever.
Now when I do my big deck and that whole thing, it's going to be a whole different story.
That's exactly it.
But for something that can sit outside and I can just throw it, flop it down, it's good. Yep. I'm renting right now until we get our house waiting for the kids to get done. So I'm not going to put the big stone thing out there until now when we get the house here in a couple years after the kids are out of high school and we can get out of the school district, then we'll be talking.
Oh, yeah. We'll put it in a nice outdoor living space for you. I don't think you need a fire pit. I think you need a fireplace.
There we go. Yeah. Okay.
You know, think big. Think big.
All right. We'll talk about that for sure. So that's one of the things that you can do out there. And if you've got gas, you know, so many people have natural gas or propane out there that they can hook into and do something that's cleaner.
Absolutely. You know, and wood burning, you know, it's always nice with the kids. You roast the marshmallows, makes you feel like you're in the woods. But, you know, the gas fire pits are so easy to maintain nowadays. And you can simply just have a licensed gas installer come over and run a line straight from your house.
Yeah.
It's real simple. And
you're never out missing out on wood. And the cool part with that is you can actually run that thing when there's the red flag warnings and all the burn bans around here. When I'm wanting to go out and get a fire going and you maybe have a cocktail out by the fire, I'm stuck sometimes where I'm like, can't have that fire out in the backyard this week.
Can't shoot those embers out, right?
Yep, exactly.
Well, and a great thing with gas, too, is you can actually go to a fireplace shop or even a gas company, may be able to custom fabricate you a burner so you can get some really cool designs with the fire as well.
I've seen people do stuff with rock and water, and I mean, it can get pretty cool with that stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, we've done some pretty cool ones. You know, if you look on our website at buythewall.com, you'll be able to take a look at some of the fire pits that we've done in the past.
And that's fun. I mean, that's some of that stuff that, you know, maybe you've got a smaller house and you can't afford to do a couple $100,000 addition to it, and you sure as heck can't afford to go move someplace else and get that square footage with the prices we got out there. Putting in that outdoor living space gains you so much more square footage when you kind of want to get away from everybody and just get outside and enjoy yourself.
It absolutely does. You know, it's one of those things you don't really think about it, but then when you go out and you look at a small backyard that, you know, maybe sloped a little bit, you know, some bark dust laying around, not a lot of yard space, you don't get a lot of sun, so you can't grow grass. An outdoor patio is a great way to actually extend your backyard and, like you said, give yourself a nice living area out there.
I mean, where else can you... You can't put another 700 square feet onto your house any cheaper than doing an outdoor living space.
Oh, absolutely not. No, you try doing a kitchen remod and see what happens if you're trying to add on to that.
Yeah. And if you guys out there don't know what that answer is, I think the in round numbers, the average kitchen remodel out there in the Northwest is about $70,000 if you're paying for somebody to do it. So
exactly.
That's just a remove and replace. That's not getting all snazzy with the high-end appliances. That's just a basic remove and replace kitchen. So if you go out and spend that outside, you can do a lot more bang for the buck and have a good time when you have the friends come over and everything else.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's the outdoor living spaces have become very popular over the last several years. You know, I can't tell you how many backyards we've gone into and just totally transformed them to an unusable space into a absolutely beautiful party area.
Yeah, and you don't have to get crazy with it. You can get creative and do some stuff, but you don't have to get, you know, Street of Dreams, over the top.
Oh, no.
Crazy with it. You can do some dialed-in stuff that makes it super comfortable and still have a really comfortable outside living space. And we'll talk about a little bit of that more coming up, because
Absolutely. There's
some cool tricks outside that you can do with that. And I do it in my backyard because, again, I'm on a rental and there's only so much you can do outside without making some people upset about changing some stuff around. And sometimes you're stuck with the environment you got.
That's exactly it. You know, those HOAs don't like you changing things up around there. You know?
Yeah, especially if you're doing stuff out front, too.
Yep.
That's the thing. If you've got that corner lot or something and you're putting in the big outdoor craziness, that's when it gets a little bit interesting. You know, you can't build the Red Rocks Arena on the side of your house out there to be able to have an outdoor concert or something and without making a few people a little bit upset.
Exactly. No, and, you know, I really encourage people to talk to designers and, you know, companies like ours that can come out and take a look and really show you what we can do with those outdoor areas.
And, yeah, and again, it's like every project, though, you got to plan it.
Oh.
And that's where that design comes, because I'm going to do this, and you start doing something and realize about 6 months later that you got yourself out of order. Now you got to redo the stuff you just redid.
Exactly. And when you're trying to design it yourself, you know, there's a lot of, changes that may come along the way. When you talk to a real designer, you're going to actually see it on paper before we even do the install. So that's highly encouraged.
And if you don't do that, the problem is you can have a great plan out there, but if it doesn't drain correctly or you got your elevations all wrong, you got a bigger mess than what you started with.
That's all at the install process. You want to make sure that is done without any error, because like you just said, you could have a huge mess on your hands. And it's one of those things. Drainage is key.
I saw we're going to have to go back to break in a second, but I saw an actual house where they had dug down this lower patio, but they just made a swimming pool and water was coming in the back.
Yep.
You know, it's like you didn't account for the water.
No, and unfortunately, I see it all the time.
Yeah, you guys do it all the time. When we come back here, we'll be taking all your calls, and I want to get you to call in and ask those questions, 877-733-1011. We're going to be talking on how to build a great party space just when we come back after these important messages. Dab in the middle of it. You're listening to Around the House there. Gee, this is where we talk home improvement each Saturday. We're actually talking outside right now, so I want you to join in the conversation. 877-733-1011. You want to build something outside? Now's the time to call in. 877-733-1011. And if you're too shy, send an email, ath@kxl.com. Make sure you listen on iTunes, SoundCloud. You can even listen on Alexa these days. So you just go to your Alexa and say, "Alexa, I want to listen to Around the House with Eric G on TuneIn," and they start playing, and you're welcome for me just firing off all your Alexas out there. So I just did that. At least I didn't order you pizza. So welcome back, Jake, to Around the House.
Great to be here, buddy.
Thanks, man. We've been talking kind of outdoor stuff, and with you guys, I love it, because we were just talking a little bit about fire pits.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, planning is the key to all of this stuff. And knowing, I mean, I tell people it's like remodeling inside is like remodeling outside. You need to have in your head what that finished product needs to look like.
You do. You know, it's really important to actually be able to see that on paper and look at your yard and kind of envision where it's all going to go. You know, it's, I talk to several people on a regular basis that they think they know what they want, but once you start getting going, there's a lot of changes, and that is really difficult when you're working with contractors to, you know, try to keep that whole thing rolling smoothly while you're changing up the plan. So having it in writing beforehand really helps you and your contractor for that matter.
Yeah, I was at one of your job sites this week and out there in Happy Valley. And that to me was kind of like the perfect first start project.
Yeah.
They were doing a retaining wall around the outside on three sides.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were doing the fence across the top.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's a basic retaining wall that's going in just to level out the backyard so they can come in. They're not going to do much of an outdoor living space on that one per se, but they are going to re-landscape, make it a little bit lower maintenance. You know, our customer out there, he's just really looking for low maintenance backyard.
There's nothing wrong with that, but I always think that that's a good thing, kind of getting the outside fence retaining walls done and dialed in, so at least you got the soil under control.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's, and the retaining wall and the fence going on top is real basic. You know, it just kind of gives you an established line, and you can really get a clean slate when it's all said and done to start with.
Yeah, now you can regrade or do whatever you need to out there, and you've got something to work with. But so many times I see people out there, they'll dive into that outdoor project, and it's really easy to get ADD out there. Oh, I'm going to go out and build this, or I'm going to go out and build that. Well,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, you deal with this every day, and it's like there's so many problems outside with elevations of where things are going to be. How high above on the ground is it going to be?
Yep.
You know, and if especially if you're planning a big system out there where you're going to, okay, in this corner is going to be the outdoor kitchen. If you don't have a well-designed plan, it's going to get expensive because you're going to end up doing something over, I promise.
It's almost a guarantee. Yeah, if you don't have a true design locked in, and it's a lot easier to change it on paper than it is to remove a section of concrete or a retaining wall.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, especially if you're getting into outdoor sprinkler systems that are going in around that whole thing just because you want to get things maintained. I mean, that's a good way to go. What are your thoughts about, you know, I see people out there that are debating paver driveways versus, you know, flat finished concrete. What are your thoughts with all that?
Well, you know, I mean, the way I always tell it to people is it's, the prep work is the exact same thing. You need to dig down to a solid base, install compacted gravel, but then you've got the issue of poured concrete or pavers. You know, and that's a big debate with a lot of homeowners. Between the couples themselves. Do they want pavers or do they want concrete? In my opinion, both are perfectly fine for a driving application. You want to make sure that you do pick out a paver that is rated for traffic.
There we go. That's a key right there.
I have seen some people choose landscape pavers, and I won't install them, but I've seen it when they have been. You get a lot of issues there. But
dude's driving this big F-350 over the top. I wonder why it's not holding up.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, there's the pavers. There's a lot of different companies out there that produce great products, but the install does take longer. You need to take that into consideration when you're purchasing a new driveway or, you know, sidewalk, walkway, whatever you're doing. The install is longer, and a lot of people think that, oh, you just lay pavers, it's going to be cheaper. Well, you've got the laying of the pavers, the actual installation, then you have all your saw cuts that are involved as well.
You get that nice meandering circular driveway with that.
Exactly.
You got hundreds of cuts, thousands of cuts.
Yeah, depending on the length of it, it can take several days just to cut in the final pieces. When concrete, it shows up on a truck, it's rotted out right there, and it's finished in one day.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at the options, just take that in consideration when you see the price is my biggest.
And I've seen, I mean, the nice thing I think with pavers, especially here on the west side of the state here, where we get a lot more moisture over here, is you can do a lot of moisture control underneath that, where you've got the, maybe the slope heading towards the driveway, but you can, towards the garage itself, but you can come underneath there and put some membranes and stuff in to keep the water going another way that you don't even see.
Yeah, and that is one of the nice things, you know, and then you don't see that big channel drain that's running across the front of the garage like you would with a poured concrete driveway.
Yeah,
you know, that is an option. But also, when you're sloping with pavers, you also want to take into consideration if you're going to need a grade beam somewhere in there as well.
Exactly.
So, you know, that's an added expense that a lot of people don't think about when they're, you know, looking at both options.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing. 877-733-1011. 877-733-1011. That's how you get in the conversation here. Well, it's interesting because those are things that the DIY person misses.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because they don't know the application for it. And I mean, there's some great DIY people out there, but sometimes those things just get missed because they're looking at the cost of the brick. They're looking at, okay, I'm gonna do my 3/4 minus here. I've been reading and watching every YouTube video known to mankind.
Right.
And I think I got this, but then they go, grade beam?
Huh? What's a grade beam?
Yeah, I mean, you guys have to get into, like, with retaining walls, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, but push piles and helical piers and those kind of things, because
depending on soil conditions, you may have to do a whole lot more than you initially thought.
And it could be that you've got a bunch of sand in the backyard, or you got a moshy mess back there.
Yes.
Either way, always
consult with a geotech if you're doing an engineered retaining wall. Or if you think you can do it yourself, at least consult with a geotech and a structural engineer.
Yeah, you got to do that, because I tell you what, I've seen more messes. And you know, it's that same thing. I see people out there with the failed, you know, railroad tie creosote mess out back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, of the just railroad ties stacked up that are failing and coming apart. My favorite one is when we go out there and you see their little garden out there. They've got the garden with the railroad ties.
I hope you like that creosote. Yep.
That's a nice little tang for breakfast in the morning when you get that on there, but that's not good.
No, and I can't tell you how many railroad ties we haul out a year.
I can only imagine.
I just looked at a job yesterday that we are replacing a series of failed retaining walls that were built with railroad ties. Now, back in the day, they held up for a while.
You put enough nastiness in the wood, it's not going to go anywhere.
It's not going to rot. And as long as that thing was installed properly, that thing will last for quite a while, unless you have some, you know, act of God situation with a landslide or something like that. But you don't want that in the soil nowadays. It's just not.
I mean, I spent some time living up in the Tacoma area up there. Just they had that plant up there where they were digging up neighborhoods full of yards pulling the creosote out of there because of the stuff coming out of the factory. But still, that stuff,
it's nasty stuff.
It is.
It's nasty.
Man, you get one of those splinters in your finger, you find out how nasty that stuff is.
Yeah.
It does not like you.
And a lot of people don't realize it. You know, that creosote, if you're hauling those railroad ties, that is a hazardous waste material. I mean, that stuff is, it's not good. It's going to cost a lot to get rid of, and you got to cut them up into smaller pieces. You can't take the full chunk. They're very controlled.
Exactly. We're going to talk a little bit more about that crazy stuff, because that stuff's nasty. And we're going to take your calls, 877-733-1011, just as soon as Around the House returns. Every time that you are around me, you can feel my heart regularly pounding. Get a little this that I turn my head, shake my shoulders, turn my back to be yourself. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement each Saturday. Thanks for tuning in. If you're missing the show so far, don't worry. After the show, hour one is up. Donovan the Master here is going to throw in the podcast for hour one. Then when hour two's done, guess what? We'll see hour two come up. And so far, that's how this works. So, and the nice thing is you can listen to it without commercials. So it goes pretty quick when you're out driving around if you do miss it. So, all right, guys, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for everybody out there. This is, we're talking about outdoor stuff today. Jake, welcome back from the wall.
Hey, this is awesome, buddy. I'm having a good time.
This is always fun with you, man. Always fun with you. So, you know, we were talking about getting, you know, about retaining walls and stuff.
Right.
And at what point out there do you kind of need to worry about, like, piers and piles and things like that when you're getting into that? At what point is where you start scratching your head going, we need help?
Well, that's when you're going to be dealing with what we've been talking about earlier, which is soft soils. If you're dealing with a soft soil condition, you are not able to put a structural footing down without having some kind of a piering system below grade. You know, and whether that's going to be a hammered pile or a helical pile, there's different options, but it's all going to boil down to what's going to be cheaper for our client and what's going to be simpler on us more than anything, realistically. If it's simple on us, it's cheaper on you.
Absolutely. 877-733-1011 is the number here to the studio. 877-733-1011. Let's define a few things for people out there that might not know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. push pile, push pier, helical pier? What's the differences?
Well, a helical pier is an actual steel pipe that has helical leads at the base. You know,
it's like a big screw.
It's a giant screw. Exactly. It's one of those things that's actually twisted into the ground, and then there's extensions added on. And you can reach depths as far as 50 feet plus if the soil conditions allow it. You know, most of the time around here, we're looking at about 20 to 25 has been about my standard. And then you've got your push piers, which are more used in foundation restorations, you know, when you're going in, and helicals are used for that as well. But the push piers are, there's a lot of companies that do that as well. And then we also do hammered piles, not only for foundation work, but for actually holding back hillsides and retaining wall applications.
Oh, that makes sense, where you got to kind of fight the soil push that's coming off of that hill, or that softer hill that's pushing at you. You got to do something with it.
If you have access to a project that really can't be done efficiently using a segmental block or a poured concrete retaining wall, whatever retaining wall system you're looking at, if it's difficult access, these pile systems that we do, they really come in handy and can save people a lot of money, you know?
Yeah, so that helical pier is great if you've got that old leaning concrete porch that you don't want to rip out and tear out, but maybe you just want to pull it up a little bit and keep it from moving any further, or maybe lift it just a little bit.
Yeah, you know, if you can get in and lift it just a little bit, depending on the integrity of those old concrete porches.
Sure, some of those are built like freight trains. Maybe they just didn't pour it too well.
Well, and some of them are just giant chunks of concrete that just need a little bit of help, which is very simple to do with a helical system. You know, our helical piers, you know, we can get anywhere from 2 7/8 to 10 inches, depending on what an engineer specs. I would not go into any kind of lifting situation without consulting with a structural engineer if I was a homeowner.
Yeah, that's a smart call, because there are things that can happen, especially when you're dealing with lifting front porches, because you don't know how they attach that.
Yeah, and not only that, but you may have an overhead structure that's secured to the front porch that you want to make sure maintains intact during construction.
Especially when there's that little porch addition over the top of the porch that maybe is the extension of that front bedroom.
Yep, exactly.
You gotta watch out for those. There's plenty of those around here in the Northwest.
Yeah, and we want to make sure, you know, we have engineers that we work with. If you have engineers that you work with, we're happy to work with them as well, but I always recommend you consult with an engineer before trying to lift any structure.
Yeah.
If you're doing any kind of new deck construction, things like that, helical piers are a great way to install a footing without having to dig down extremely deep for
putting in that hot tub or something out there.
Exactly.
It's an easy way to go. You know it's never going to go anywhere.
Never going to go anywhere. Anything that's going to be supporting a bunch of weight, these helical piers are a good way to come down and get below grade several feet and pour concrete around them, or sometimes there's an actual bracket that your deck can just attach right to the top of the helical. So
simple.
It makes it very simple, and, you know, it's one of those things that a lot of people don't think about it, but then when they hear about it, it makes a lot of sense to them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is like those big front porches, they can be leaning, but they're also maybe attached into that foundation wall.
Exactly.
And they've got a lot of, they're dialed in. You got a big problem in there. So you can be, by lifting up there, you can be actually working against that foundation wall.
That's exactly.
And then the problem is if that thing settled in the first 2 years of its life, which is common.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been sitting there for a long time, hasn't moved, and then they've done an addition on the porch above it. Now you got to think, okay, I'm going to take a couple inches up on this porch.
Yeah,
but now I'm taking the whole structure above it out 2 inches from where it's supposed to be.
Well, and that's one of those things, again, having an engineer look at it's always key. But, you know, proper construction would keep your porch from settling in the first place over the first couple of years. But
you know, you got to think about it. Back there in the 20s and 30s, you had dudes with literally with a wheelbarrow.
Hand mix their own concrete.
Yep. And they're putting it just right on the dirt. You know, maybe the rock wasn't washed well. I mean, we didn't have this, $200,000. Yeah, fiber reinforced. No.
Exactly.
You can tell on a lot of these old foundations, you can look at it and go, there was lunch. That's that line right there.
Yep.
There's the afternoon break, and that's where they run out of concrete.
Yep. You know? There's no cement in there. That looks like a bunch of sand and aggregate to me.
Exactly. Hey, when we come back, it's going to be hour number two. We're going to continue this one just as soon as Around the House returns.
We have some exciting news about the Around the House podcast. Do you want to be an Around the House insider? Our premium membership gives you early access to the weekend podcast, exclusive access to our back catalog of shows, special email access to me, Eric G., with your own home improvement questions with a priority email address, plus exclusive new shows and extended content. Click down into the podcast show notes for the link to the Around the House Insider membership for less than the price of a beer at happy hour. Join me for this limited amount of exclusive members. And thanks for listening to Around the House.